everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for this wonderful opportunity that happens every week to empower you with truthful information so you can have the most informed knowledge and be able to make decisions based on that knowledge. That's what the show is really all about. It's providing you with the experts, the wisdom, the information that lets you make informed decisions. So I'm all about informed decisions, and people have to make their choices in life, but always do it from a fully informed place. And what I'm here to do is give you, is to the best of my knowledge, truthful information to help you in that process. So I'm sure that you'll be enjoying another great show that I have in store for you today. If you are joining me for the first time, welcome. It's great to have you with me, and I want to invite you to go to my website, What Women Must Know. Like me there. Go to my website, my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, and my website, whatwomenmustknow.com. Both of those places, I send my radio shows out to you every week, and in addition to that, I post lots of great information, as well as give you some special reports from my website when you opt in there. So it's a way to just keep learning and growing and getting more empowered along the way. Well, let's talk about a really interesting topic. It's confusing, and it's vital for our health. We're going to be talking about the healing power of salt with my special guest today, Selena DeLongre. And Selena is a very dynamic woman. I've met her recently at a conference I was at. We just had a great connection, a great time. And I had no idea who Selena was until I saw all that she was presenting. So I'm so thrilled to have her on the show today because we have some really important things to talk about. And let me just tell you a little bit about Selena. She proudly continues the extraordinary legacy of Jacques DeLongre in her position as the CEO of Celtic Ocean International, which is the parent company of Selena Naturally and the Celtic Sea Salt brand. Selena is an enthusiastic spokeswoman about the critical importance of properly harvested sea salt, and she personally inspects every location from which sea salt is harvested. These artisan harvesting methods maintain the integrity of the essential minerals in the salt, which are vital to optimal health and superior taste. She has spent decades researching for solutions for proper daily nutrition and ways to obtain them. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Selena to the show. Hello, Selena.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So glad to have you on the show. And I love the fact that we've created time to get together because you have such inspiring things to share with us. So it's great having you on the show. You're so welcome. And, you know, we were talking before the show started about Jacques DeLongre, which is so interesting to me because many decades ago when I was living in Australia, we're talking many decades ago now, I had a client and someone who participated a lot in the programs, personal development programs I was doing there, who was very involved with Celtic Sea Salt, and she was talking all about this man, Jacques DeLongre, and it was Jacques, I just knew him as Jacques. And as I was going through your bio, I realized, oh my God, there's a connection, there's a family connection here. So let's just talk about him for a little bit so people can appreciate your work and the legacy you are carrying on.
That would be my pleasure. Jacques DeLongre, he was a pioneer. He was definitely a forward-thinking man before his time. And when I had the pleasure to meet him, I was like a little bit afraid because I thought it was like a cult because what he was talking about was so over my head. I was from Muncie, Indiana, and I'd never heard anything such of all these things. But Jacques had almost like he was gifted to where his information didn't even come from this planet or something. He was pretty channeled with pretty phenomenal information. And there was three things that I remember about him, and there was the salt that he really, really embraced all the different salts and how important it was for us to eat a good high mineral salt, and also bread. He wrote a book called Does Bread Nourish? And that bread would educate people on the kinds of breads that you should eat. And I'm wondering how he would be reacting to the gluten-free trend that's going on today, if he was still with us. But then the other thing that he did was doing self-massage. And these are all the things that he wrote books about. But the Doing Self-Massage book took off in Portugal and in Brazil. And it was, he spoke 7 different languages, so he was able to translate his books in these languages, and they were global. And so even before the internet, his things kind of went viral, kind of the snail mail way. And so he did the Doing Self-Massage, and that took off in Brazil. And then he did the Does Bread Nourish? And there was a bakery called French Meadow Bakery up in Minnesota that has unleavened bread. And she was a student of Jacques, and he taught her how to make bread with no yeast. The only ingredients is fresh ground wheat, water, salt, and that's it. And so she embraced that, and she started French Meadow Bakery. The thing that took off the most for Jacques was the salt, and that's what really went viral in before the internet way. And the way it started was he wrote a little booklet, maybe 10 pages long, and it was called Sea Salt's Hidden Powers. And that book came from the understanding that our bodies need minerals, but more, not that the salt is a supplement for minerals, but sodium chloride really should be eaten with the complement of magnesium, potassium, and calcium. When he wrote the book, there was nothing written out there in the 70s about salt, and some amazing masters and influential people in the natural products industry and in the 70s, that was just beginning, was Dr. Bruce West, Dr. Christian Northrup, Dr. William Campbell Douglas, and these doctors took his information and wrote about it in their newsletters, and each one of them had probably 80,000 subscribers to their newsletters. So overnight, Jacques went to the post offices, and there was maybe 100 of those white bins with envelopes with $5 bills in it, because he didn't know what to charge. He said, well, I'll just put some salt in a baggie, and I guess $5 is good. And today it's still $5 a pound 40 years later. But that's how he kind of got started, you know, with the message being out there about salt. And they really trusted his information because they were forward-thinking doctors, and it made sense to them that if our body, you know, has all those other minerals, magnesium and calcium, potassium, that our body should be eating a whole sodium chloride that still has those intact. And those forward-thinking doctors started writing about it and educating people on it. And today we have over 800 of those amazing forward-thinking doctors that support us all over the world and continue telling the message.
That's a great story. It's just one man with a mission and a passion to spread what he believed is really going to support people's health. And I know that was pre-internet for sure. It's, you know, I heard about him pre-internet. It's amazing that he got out so far and wide during that time. It's easier, so much easier now. So let's talk about salt, and let's start with the importance of salt. Salt's gotten a really bad rap. Sometimes it's deserved in certain forms, and other times it's such a healing food. And salt has been a commodity that people have traded in for thousands of years around the world. So what's going on with salt? What do we need to know, Selena, that we aren't being told about the salt story?
Well, I'm definitely not, a doctor, but I can speak from sitting in this position for 30 plus years and hearing all the research and going and jumping through the hoops of trying to find the best salt out there. And there has to be some sort of standard that I'm measuring to say it is the best salt. And then I have to at least say, well, why do I think it's the best salt? So, What I base that on is the mineral profile. So we, our body definitely does need salt, and we, it depends on what your lifestyle is of how much you need. You know, a meat eater doesn't really need as much salt because they are getting so much in meat, especially red meat, and a vegan person probably needs more. A person that's athletic that sweats a lot, you know, needs more than a person that does not. So we had a newsletter for almost 25 years, and there was a Dr. Lynn August, and she's an MD, and she has a company called Health Equations, and she does blood work on every single patient that comes in. And when I asked her the question, how much salt do we need, and does everybody need salt, she said, first of all, no, not everybody does need salt. And a good way to understand if you need more salt or you don't have enough is your own body. So if you're finding yourself extremely thirsty, you're probably getting more sodium than your body is processing. And if you find yourself feeling like your food is a little tasteless and you want to add more, your body's telling you that you should have more salt, and you will even sit at a table if you need more salt, and intuitively you will just take your fingers and put it in your mouth, because your body will know that. Just like livestock animals, they will travel very far to get the salt that they need. So that is my understanding, according to Dr. Lynn August, about how much salt you should be eating. Now, if you talk about people that should not eat salt, she does say there are salt-sensitive people. And the way you can find out if you are salt-sensitive is by doing a renin test. And that test can be costly and take a lot of time. So a doctor, if they see high blood pressure, they just say, just reduce your sodium. Without doing the renin test, they don't know if that's the reason their blood pressure is up, is because of you're salt sensitive, and the renin test would show that. So for the person that's trying to ask themselves, am I okay eating salt? I don't have high blood pressure. And I enjoy it, I would say just use your own instincts and say, if it's not causing any adverse effects, then you're fine. Is there a certain salt that you should be eating? Just like in any practice of following the most nutritional, empowering diet that you can, you want to eat things that are still whole. And sodium chloride needs the potassium, magnesium, and then the calcium in order for it to be transmuted properly through in the body. And a good example, if you would go do a Google search online for a potassium pump and ask to watch a video on it, you will see the video that shows a potassium pump that has ions, and it's the potassium ion and the sodium ion. The cell, and that potassium pump is the outer wall of our cells. So that is what allows hydration and nutrition to come into the cell. Now, when the sodium and potassium are not together, the cell, that will not open, the pump will not open. And so it will not allow those different ions to go back and forth within the cell. They depend on each other. They are delivery systems for each other. So to take isolated nutrients or something that is just sodium chloride, the potassium pump will not work properly, and it could show up in certain things like edema, you know, swelling of the cell, because if the cell won't open, then it's trapping all of that in there, and then you get swelling and edema. So that just is chemistry 101, you know, about sodium and the potassium pump and how nutrients are delivered. They all depend on each other, and salt is just another mineral, but if you take it in just its pure processed sodium chloride form, and I'm talking about pure sodium chloride that has nothing added and removed, your body are not going to have all those other minerals to make all the deliveries proper that it should be. Now, then you have a table salt that has a lot of other things in it that might cause adverse effects to your body, such as free-flowing agents to make sure that it still pours when it rains, and bleaches to make sure it's as white as snow, and dextrose to make sure that the bitterness is not there, so it has a little bit more appealing flavor. And that is the typical table salt that's on your table. And Morton worked very hard to bring that product to market, and they're very proud of that on the internet. If you go to the Morton or Cargill website, you can see how they make their salt, and they're really proud of that process. But just like anything from the 70s on in food manufacturing, just for the sake of progress to give us more shelf, longer shelf life for foods and everything, we're now recognizing the negative impact that it might cause on our health, by messing with something that's nothing's added and nothing removed. So that's my spiel on salt.
Well, so why did they strip salt of all the other minerals?
It's not so much in the mining of the real salt. That's what the business was about years ago. This was just in the mining when they stripped the salts of nutrients, not in a solar dried salt. So when they strip the salt of nutrients, it's not to try to get the nutrients or the other minerals out of salt. It's to extract those minerals and sell them for other things.
Wow. So table salt is kind of the leftover byproduct?
Yeah, it's kind of the byproduct. The table salt was manufactured for the purpose of a person having the convenience of a great salt on their table, in their opinion, that had iodine in it, because there was the goiter issue. They used to put iodine in flour, but there's bromine in flour, and bromine is an iodine inhibitor, so it will not let you absorb the iodine. So they said, okay, we better put it in salt, because everybody can afford a pound of salt and everybody eats salt, so let's go ahead and get the iodine in salt. And so really that table salt was intentionally created for the consumption. The byproduct are more mine salt, like the real salt in Utah. They used to be, at the very origination of their company, was a mineral company. And then when the sea salt industry started to grow, they realized, well, wait a minute, we got a pretty nice little sea salt here too, let's sell it. And then that's what I'm talking about when they've extracted minerals for selling minerals. The Morton thing, they're very, very proud of the purification of their end product. That's what they did. That was their intention. Just like white bread. They were very proud of that white bread.
Right. So when we think of the normal Morton salt, or that white free-flowing with all those flowing agents, I didn't know there was dextrose in there as well. We're talking about a refined product. It's a refined product. Mm-hmm. It's taken the whole food, which salt is, and just refined it. And by stripping out the potassium and the magnesium and other minerals or other electrolytes, I mean, these minerals are electrolytes, so they help the conductivity for all the cells and organs and our heart or brain. We all need proper electrolytes for muscles to work. But that's not what we're getting when we are getting normal white table salt, right? We're just getting one component of what exists in nature.
Yeah, just the sodium and just the chloride. And even if you you could do a blind taste test, especially children are the great indicators that their taste buds aren't ruined yet. But and you can put a little bit of the just table salt on their tongue, and they will say that burns. And you can put a little bit of a whole, salt, sea salt with minerals in it, on their tongue, and they'll say, "Wow," they'll say, "I want more of it." So it's very interesting. And also, if people do want to learn more about mineral salt versus just pure sodium chloride, the Salt Institute has really a lot of information, but most of their case studies and research is on livestock, and there has really not been any actual case studies done on humans of using, you know, just table salt versus a high mineral salt. But there is some really great, interesting stuff on the at the Salt Institute about salt.
So salt is essential for life. I mean, just having vegetables and fruits, they have natural salts, minerals in there. But it is essential for life. So when people start cutting out all forms of salt because they're afraid of blood pressure, and blood pressure, like you said, there's some that have sensitivity to sodium, but most of the blood pressure issue has to do with our diet and lack of exercise and being inflamed and, you know, being overweight and all the issues that are really generating all our health challenges. So salt kind of takes the blame for a lot of things, but we don't really understand the role of salt for our health.
No, we don't really understand it, and it has gotten a lot of, you know, bad rap. It's too bad sugar hasn't gotten as much as salt has gotten. But there are studies that have been done in the UK where they did remove all salt from a couple families, and they did this for 12 months, and it was almost irreversible. Conditions that happened from it, from muscle contractions and, lack of focus and concentration, and a fatigue that just couldn't seem to go away. So I, in my opinion, I think there's more harm that can be done on a total salt-free diet than on too much salt. And I'm not saying you should eat too much salt. Your body will tell you if you're doing too much all the time. And there's also different times to eat salt and different times of your life. You know, a child doesn't need as much salt as an adult. And when you're on your period, you want more salt because you're losing a lot of blood, you know. So there's just all different kinds of ways to indicate, you know, how much salt you need too. So, and if you do have high blood pressure, and I would say, in my opinion, and we have like over 800 doctors in our database, and this is what they have noticed on their patients when they come in, and they tell them just switch your salt. It's a really first step, you know, to make a lifestyle change. And when they do switch their salt, they see their blood pressure go down to normal because the body is craving homeostasis. And when you give the body a more balanced sodium, your body is kind of naturally going into that homeostasis state. And so their blood pressures actually go closer to normal when they get on a high mineral salt.
Yes, because you're getting those minerals, and that's what the body really is craving and needs. So that leads us to healthy forms, or natural or whole forms of salt, however you want to say it, that really support our health. And can we talk a bit about that? You know, what is it that we're looking for when we want a good salt to use? And because we have to think of it, it's not just flavoring. It's, in a sense, medicinal for us when used properly.
Right. This is the way we choose the salts that we choose from all over the world is, first we look at analysis, and, on the analysis, we want to make sure that, the best is the lower sodium chloride. So, for instance, some of ours are, 73% sodium chloride, some of them are 82% sodium chloride, and some of them are about 97% sodium chloride. Now, if you had a pie and you said the percentage of this is that, that means there's a little bit more room for other minerals or trace minerals. And that's my first indicator, what's the sodium chloride in the salt. After that, then I look to see what is the calcium and potassium and the magnesium. And then I see, okay, that's interesting. Some of the salts from different regions have more potassium, and some of them have more magnesium, and some of them have more calcium. They all have different things. But you really have to make sure. You might go, wow, I love the magnesium of this salt. It's really a nice salt, but it really doesn't taste good. It's too bitter. So you have to find that balance of a salt that has those minerals but still has a really good flavor. So that's how we choose our salts. We also look at the pH. we won't bring a salt in that is a 7 or more acid. We like to do a 9. Most of our salts are 9. We do have one that's about a 10.63 of the alkaline chart. And so we also look at the alkalinity. Then we also look at the heavy metals. We have the salts analyzed for lead and mercury. If there, you know, there are sometimes trace elements of lead and mercury, but if we see it over a certain segment, then we do a certain kind of ratio of it, we do not pick it up. But how does the customer know how to do that? I think today, it's just finding a brand that you trust and you know their story behind it, because on the label, you're not going to get enough information to help you make that decision. If you do have to make that decision, you would really try to say, I want unprocessed, but even some unprocessed salts have a high sodium chloride in it. You wouldn't really want to know product of origin, because my products come out from all over the world, so that's not an indicator that it's a really good salt or not. So you would look at... Really, is anything added or anything removed? And look at the copy on the label. The mined salts, there's really nothing added or removed that I know of the Himalayan salts. But the sodium chloride is about 97 to 98% sodium chloride. And so that's not giving you a whole lot of minerals. But if you were in a bad place, or you didn't have any salt and it was sitting there at the table, I don't think there's anything added and removed in the Himalayan salts. So I would eat a Himalayan salt before I would eat a table salt, because you know that they didn't intentionally add anything. And you wouldn't react from the free-flowing agents and things like that. So that's how I would recommend people pick their salt. I could tell you it's like a, let's see here, you know, like, a grain of rice where you look to make sure it's, you know, the way it looks and everything to buy it. But, you know, with the labels, I think you just need to find a brand that you trust, read the story, and go from that. And I would actually recommend that anybody that's trying to have a clean diet today, I would recommend everybody just do investigating of what's behind the story of the product you're getting, you know, because that's about the only reassurance we have, you know, that it's not GMO and all of that. So that would be my recommendation.
So what you said was really interesting. So Himalayan salt, which usually is the pink salt, is pure. It's in that there's nothing added or refined or, you know, mm-hmm. compromised with it. But just mm-hmm. in its natural state, it's high. Like you said, 97% sodium chloride.
It's about the same as our fine ground. We have a salt that's a salt that has been heated 102 degrees with a hot air conveyor belt, and that's just to remove the moisture and the brine that's trapped inside each beautiful little crystal. And then it's been ground, but that's about a 97 to 98% sodium chloride too. And our wet salts usually run about about a 72 to 82% sodium chloride. And so what we've recognized is the moist salts tend to have the most minerals.
Oh, so interesting. So so that's what we know as Celtic sea salt, which is a wet salt, a gray wet salt. So can you talk a little bit about that? And, I mean, you've carried on the legacy of Jacques and mm-hmm. doing his work. Let us know more about what Celtic sea salt is, where it comes from. Just tell us more about the whole story behind it.
Yeah, sure. Well, the Celtic sea salt first started, it came from one region, and that was in Brittany, France. And when Jacques started to research about salt, that was the one area that, in his opinion, would produce the only salt that humans should ever consume. And the reason was because of the magnesium, potassium, and sodium. Now, for many years, it's interesting, I had thought, just like thought the, you know, earth was flat and not round, I thought it was the gray that gave it the minerals. And he kind of said it was the gray that gave it the minerals. The gray color comes from the salt flats in Brittany are lined with a clay, and it's kind of a greenish gray, and that's where the color comes from, is the clay. So all these years, I thought, interesting, I can only get this salt from this one area, and it has to be gray, and it has to have all these things. Well, when Jacques first started to bring the salt over, there was not very many salt flats, salt ponds, that would produce salt. And every salt pond takes 7 years to prepare before you can actually get any crystals out of it that are edible. So it wasn't like he went there and he said, okay, I need more salt because I wrote a book on it. Can you supply me? No. They said it's going to take us 7 years because the art was lost. When commercial food started happening, the legacy did not get passed in generations, and so all the artisans left the area, and it was a dying art until Jacques wrote his book. So he put together a little membership, so anybody that was a member would be the first people to be able to get the salt at that time. Now you can fast forward, and there is really not a capacity issue in that area because all these years we've partnered with the salt suppliers and supported them to increase their production to where we're okay. But there was an oil spill, the Erica oil spill that happened, I believe it was 2005. That oil spill happened right out of Brittany, France. And it happened in May, which all the salt production start from May, and it's over in September, so it's a very seasonal harvest. They had to stop the production of salt in May, and so that year they couldn't harvest any salt. And they were able to stop the little canal openings to where none of the contaminated waters did get into the actual pristine area where the salt is crystallized, but the beaches were, it was horrible. There was a bad oil spill. There was birds everywhere on the beach and everything. But we went through a four-year stockpile in 6 months because of this, and we had to go live there for, I think, about 2 or 3 months just to make sure we hand-selected the salt, and it was still the quality that it should be. We've had many water tests to make sure that that did not affect our salt flats, and thank God they caught it fast enough, though it did not. But that was a real eye-opening experience for me. In business, you do a SWOT analysis, and you recognize your strengths, weaknesses, and threats and opportunities. Well, immediately I opened my eyes to the huge threats and risks that I was dealing with, which was it would take one bad oil spill to take away my entire commodity. So from that point on, I realized I had to start looking for other salts all over the world and seeing if it was a myth or not that this was the only salt we should be eating. So I started to look into a salt that was in Portugal because I had met someone that was affiliated with the farmer there. So I went to Portugal and I stayed there for 2 to 3 weeks and harvested the salt with them and looked at the area around it, had it analyzed, and I went, well, look at that. This stuff is white and it has the same minerals. Go figure how that happened.
So no clay.
A fairy tale world, opening my eyes, so Santa Claus isn't real. And I went, okay, so if Jacques was still alive today, he would come across the same research because he would have done the same thing. But his, life ended before he was able to continue this. And he passed away of a deformed heart valve. It was a fluky thing. The heart valve got stuck open before anybody could get to him, and unfortunately it was too long, and so that's how he crossed over. But so to continue his legacy, which I know God called me to do that because my name is Selena and it means salt, and I didn't change it for this. So I know that this is a gift for me, and I take it very seriously that Celtic sea salt holds a reputation, and I had better keep that reputation up, but I better also hold the responsibility to be the supplier of its trusted salt. So I have traveled the world to 15 different places all over the world looking for salts that hold up to our standards. I have turned some away, either because of the analysis not looking like I want it to look, or the conditions were not sanitary enough, of maybe they didn't store the salt properly. But I have also made investments and changes in my salt sources all over the world, too, to help them bring it up to the level of quality that I want it to be. So to bring this around about where we are, I've come to the conclusion it's not about the color, it's about the character. And what character I'm looking for is pH and minerals and no heavy metals. So if it meets that, then it can be under the Celtic sea salt name. So we are no longer just a French gray salt. We are a salt from all over the world.
And where else do you source your salt from?
We are getting salt from Portugal, from Spain, from we were getting it from Haiti, but they keep getting hit with all these horrible things, and we haven't been able to keep it consistent. From Guatemala, from the Sea of Cortez, and from Hawaii. And those are the salts that we are bringing in today.
So, Selena, the next question I have, when you're talking about all these places that are supplying salt, how actually do you harvest salt?
There are a couple ways, and that's another myth that I thought there was only one way to harvest salt that would give you the quality that I needed. But there are other, more than one way. But basically, it's bringing ocean water into some sort of a holding tank. And that holding tank can be about the size of a football field. And then the salt farmers will draw from that holding tank. The way they draw from it is there's these canals. And if you could visualize what rice paddies look like, an aerial, it would look like a rice paddy aerial. And so they open up a wooden gate, which allows the water to drain in. And there's eight ponds that are squares lined up, and gravity lets the water come in, but each pond is a little bit deeper than all of them, so the gravity pulls it down so that by the time it gets to the last one, that's when you can start pulling the salt out. The water evaporates. Once the water kind of evaporates and these crystals kind of form, the tool that is used is this really long wooden rake kind of thing, and they pull the crystals towards them and they make a pile of salt right there. And that's how the salt's made, and this is called a solar dried sea salt. And that's how most of them are made. Some of them are closer to the ocean than others. The Haiti salt was a very strange one because I got the same mineral profile and it was rainwater that was feeding theirs. They never fed it in from the ocean. So it might have been because it was an island or something. I'm not sure. The chemist and I brought a chemist there, and together we helped them learn how to harvest their salt and taught them when to pull it out of the waters to get the best flavor and not too much magnesium. And the water will turn a really interesting red color, and that's the indicator when the crystals are ready to be pulled out. So it's kind of an art. The flower of the ocean is like fleur de sel, and that one is a lot harder to harvest because the wind and the sun has to be perfect. It has to be about 70 degrees, and the wind has to blow at a certain knot. And then these crystals form over the top of the salt beds, and when the sun's hitting it, it's a gorgeous, like a lavender color because it almost hits it like prisms. And there's a really nice fragrance in the air when the flower of the ocean is on top of the water. Now, this is very hard to harvest because if you make a ripple in that water, your whole salt will go underneath. So you have to very carefully skim the crystals off the top of the water, and you can only get maybe 7 pounds per salt flat, which of the other stuff you can get almost 50 pounds. So you can kind of see the difference of the what you can produce.
People may never have heard of that, the flower. What is it called?
The flower of the ocean.
Flower of the ocean. Can you explain a little bit more? Because I'm sure it's a new name for most people listening.
Yeah. Well, flower of the ocean, some people know it as fleur de sel. And what defines it is it's a really beautiful sodium chloride. So it's about 84% sodium chloride. So it has its magnesium, potassium, and it's about 9 on the pH scale. And it's a finishing salt. It's one of the most expensive salts we have because you can put these on your salads or, you know, on a fruit or something. So it's like the luxury of salts. But some people might know it as fleur de sel. We just brand ours as flower of the ocean. And it is, you know, it's a pretty nice salt. It's funny, we have this thing because it's expensive when we tell people, you know, you can get the same minerals from the one that's $5 a pound. But they want that feel, those culinary people that really appreciate consistencies and things like that with salts, and they really want that light, delicate kind of feel on their food. So that's what the flower of the ocean is.
And, I mean, it's very delicate, isn't it?
It
has a very fine consistency.
Yeah, it, like, melts on your tongue immediately. The coarse crystals, you put that in a grinder to put on your food, but if you do put that on your tongue, it would probably take you maybe 90 seconds for that crystal to dissolve on your tongue. So that's the difference of the two crystal consistencies. We do have another salt that I'm really proud of, and it comes from 2,000 feet below the surface of the water from the island of Kona. And this salt came to me, a chemist came to one of the trade shows and gave me 10 cc's of salt and said, please test my salt. I think you'll really appreciate it. And I said, okay, I will. And I sent it to the lab, and when it came back, I was kind of blown away that it was, I questioned, did you do anything to this? Because it was so low, so low in sodium chloride. It's like 22% lower in sodium chloride than table salt. Naturally, and I thought, wow, and it even tastes good. It doesn't have a real bitter magnesium or potassium taste. It tastes delicious. And the pH was 10.63, and I was just thinking, how is this possible? It's so beautiful. And and I think, I kept thinking, wow, it must be this deep sea water that's giving me that. And so that's what we kind of really went to market on, because this is kind of new science. And we said, oh, this deep sea salt, gives us this profile. Well, I just got back from Hawaii last week because another person came to me and said, I really want you to test my salt. It's from Hawaii. And I said, well, you know, I only pick up a salt that's really has a special mineral profile. And he says, well, it does. And I said, okay. I said, does it come from deep sea water? He said, no. And I said, well, I'm sure it's not going to have the same attributes of my deep one. And I had the salt analyzed, and it was almost identical. And I went, okay, now I'm back to the, you know, the lab coat, because how did that happen? I thought it was the deep sea water that gave me that. So I just got back, and I saw the way they're making it there is they are filtering, they're bringing the water out of the ocean, and they're filtering this water with 5 different filters. So they're coming, I mean, to the most minute microns or whatever it is, they are filtering this water. And then they're putting it in these salt boxes for, I don't know what else to call it, but these salt boxes are possibly, let me think of the dimensions, maybe 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet, and they are about a foot and a half deep. And they have a glass top over them, and the water is put in these salt boxes, and then they allow the sun to beat down through the glass, and it evaporates the water, and then crystals form in these tubs. And I said, well, that's not deep sea water, but how is it giving it? So the only conclusion I have is it might be the filtering of the water that is giving us this lower sodium chloride, because I visited another salt producer there that is making the salt in the same salt boxes, but they're not filtering the water. And that's at about a 97% sodium chloride. So I'm not a scientist, but I have enough, data where I can make some hypotheses and some conclusions that it could be that it's the water that is giving us this beautiful profile. And for the deep sea salt, it's because it's deep water. And but for the surface salt that has been the surface water that has been filtered, I believe it's the filtration that is giving me the identical profile. So that's that.
Wow, that's so interesting. You're such a salt connoisseur. I'm learning so much. So do you label all these different salts, they're creating their own profiles, so people can go in and buy the deep water salt, or they can buy the filtered salt, or do they just go under your name, Celtic Sea Salt?
Yeah, we try to keep it under just, the Celtic Sea Salt and not get too much in all the other things. It just causes more kind of
confusion.
Drama out there in the market. Confusion, yeah. And then you give a little bit of information to a customer, and it leads to 20 million different questions. So we really just try to support the customer to help them make a decision of which salt that they want, but we don't want to go into too much detail, because at the end of the day, how do I know how the deep water sea salt is going to affect the body compared to the other one, but I can at least give the customer enough information, and they can use their judgment of which one they can use. But to make it kind of easy to pick which one you do want, what we say is, the coarse crystals, of course, is the most, is the cheapest one out there, and you can put in a grinder and put on your food, and you're getting every single thing that you need with that. It's perfect. If you feel that you want to make a little bit of a more pH balance, then we recommend and we call it Makai Pure, and that means towards the ocean, and it's called Makai Pure, and that's the one that's from Hawaii. And in that one, I have both salts, because the main thing that I'm concerned about is the consumer is getting that minerals that we're promising. They don't care if it's deep sea water or if it's surface water filtered, is all they care about. Is it the minerals that you're telling me it is?
Right. That's true. So they just get the quality of your product and the high mineral content, low sodium, more of a combination of other important minerals and electrolytes. So I have another question I want to ask. When I was first introduced to Celtic sea salt, it comes in that wet salt form. And I was told, at least my memory of what I was told, is that it should only be used in cooking. You should never use it straight on food, like salads and things. Was that a myth?
That kind of comes from a little bit of a macrobiotic thing, and Jacques and Yvette were macrobiotic. And so in the macrobiotic things, that's what they believe. Like, they also believe you shouldn't, drink water. You should only drink quantity. So that's where that came from. No, that is not, that is a myth. No, that is not true. Our digestive system starts by putting salt on our tongue. It starts to excrete the digestive enzymes right then and there. If you put salt on your tongue right now, your mouth would start to water, and that's the prepping of the digestive system. So that is not true.
And it's important for people to understand we need some salt in our diet to make hydrochloric acid so we can digest our food in our stomach.
Yeah.
Right? So
Absolutely.
People who aren't taking salt can be deficient in hydrochloric acid, so they don't have enough stomach acid to digest their proteins and kind of cleave the minerals from the food, which can then, without enough production of hydrochloric acid, you can be vulnerable to the bacteria H. pylori, which can lead to all sorts of problems and ulcers and even stomach cancer. So, I mean, there's a story there that's really important for us to understand about why salt is a critical nutrient for our health. And like everything, it's finding the highest quality and in moderation. So I have another question for you, because you have another product that I have seen. It's Fossil River salt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
What is that?
That is... Actually, it does... It comes from a river. It's a river salt, but it's part ocean and part river. So it's a very salty, briny river. And that... with different flavors. So, and it's a variety. So we have one that... And the salt that's produced from the Fossil River is a really beautiful, flaky salt. It's such a really good salt for meat, because it has a huge surface. It covers a lot of surface, because it's like a sheet of glass almost that just falls in your tongue and just melts. And the way those crystals are formed is, if the salt is produced in a stagnant body of water, you get a real square crystal. If the salt and the crystals are produced in a flowing or agitated or a moving body of water, you get these gorgeous flaky crystals. And because the water is moving in a river, you get these gorgeous flaky crystals. Does this salt have the same minerals that my high mineral salt has? No, it does not. It's about a 97% sodium chloride, but it is a fun salt because it has all we have all these different flavors, everything, and it's, you know, so you're not getting those super minerals, but it's a safe salt, and it's a nice salt that has really good flavors. We have a charcoal one that has activated charcoal. We have a rose petal one, all these different flavors. And something that's very hot in Europe, and we are introducing it into the United States, and we're just testing to see how it's going to be received here, is a liquid salt. And this liquid salt is coming from there's like a kind of an underground mine around the Fossil River, and there is a spring kind of thing that's this thick liquid, that's like real salty liquid, and that's what this liquid salt is. And it is about 60% lower in sodium chloride than table salt. You spray it on your food, and it's just a new way to apply salt to your food. We have that in different flavors too, a garlic and a Mediterranean and different flavors that we have in that also. But it's kind of interesting. Some people love it and some people just can't even try it. They said, I just can't even get past spraying my salt on my food. So that's what that is.
Well, you know, this has been so interesting, because obviously you're really passionate about salt and passionate about having the highest quality, the purity, the right mineral balance in your salts, and to, you know, keep searching around the world till you find the best ones that meet your standards, which I think is really important that people know and appreciate about what you're doing. So if people want to know more about the variety of salts that Selena has gathered for us, what I suggest is go, first of all, to her website, which is selenanaturally.com, Selena, S-E-L-I-N-A, Selena, like salt, selenanaturally.com, and you'll be able to see a wide variety of salts, and they can purchase salt from your website. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you are in all the stores. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're widely distributed as well.
Yeah, we're investing a lot to get out there and be available to everybody. and that is a big investment, but we're doing our very best to be in all the stores that we can possibly be in. Yes, we're in Publix, we're in Ingles, we're in Earth Fair, Whole Foods, Sprouts. So we really are out there, but I really hope I can have just a few more minutes to tell you about something else that really complements our sodium needs, and it's called Aquan Matrix. Do I have enough time to share that?
We have a minute left.
Okay. The Akan matrix is for people that are like need a sodium immediately, because it goes through, it's already pre-digested from a phytoplankton that's in the ocean. So it's a seawater that you drink that's the same composition as our, of the fluid in our body. And my daughter started having, my granddaughter was having seizures 2 years ago, and Dr. Colbert, which is her neurologist, actually said that, you know, she needs to take this because she has a mitochondria deficiency, and people with mitochondria deficiencies is a precursor for autism, and they do not absorb nutrients or hydration very well. So drinking one of these little cc's, 10 cc's of this marine, this Wakwan matrix, is like equivalent to an 8 ounces of water for hydration. And I always forget to tell people about it, but it is, it's remarkable. And it's on my website also, but it's called Aquan Matrix. And it has, it just really helps with people with hydration and mitochondria deficiency. So that's, I wanted to get that out there real fast.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I mean, mitochondria deficiency is a big issue. There's so many people talking about dysfunctional mitochondria, which is our little batteries that generate energy. So if people don't have enough of energy, or their mitochondria aren't working, you can't actually generate energy for every single function in your body. So it's a pretty important thing. And the Aquamatrix actually helps to regenerate the mitochondria.
It actually does. It supports the assimilation of all the nutrients the mitochondria is responsible for, yes.
Well, so you're doing such great things, Selena. I encourage people to go visit Selena's website, selenanaturally.com. Lots of good things to look at and to purchase and learn about. Selena, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for the great work you are doing in helping us to understand this whole important world of salt and all the other things related to it. So thank you once again for being on the show today.
Well, thank you so much. I'm just really honored to be able to share my story. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, and I want to say thank you to everyone listening to the show today, and remember to join me again next week for more empowering information. So until then, always remember to honor your feminine self. Bye for now.